Tonight, I have a very short message. I have 3 points. It'll only take me 5 minutes to make those points. Unfortunately, I have a long introduction. I want to set the stage for the message. Now, you don't need to turn to it, but I want to read 3 very familiar verses from Matthew chapter 11. The last 3 verses of that chapter, Jesus is talking, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I had somebody ask me, not this morning, but the last time I taught Sunday school, and said, "Preacher, why do you take the time in your lessons? It seems like you're fighting for time. Why do you take the times in your lessons, in your Sunday school lessons, to mention the Greek words that are behind our English translation? It seems like you could save a lot of time if you just forgot the Greek and just stuck, you know, to the English." And I told that person 3 weeks ago, I said, "Well, because sometimes when you look at the Greek word, it helps you understand what God was trying to say a little bit better than just the English translation that we have." And that's why oftentimes I will also mention the tense of verbs that are used in the Greek, because the tense of those verbs also help us understand what God is trying to tell us. For example, if you don't pay attention to the verbs in this passage from Matthew, you would think that coming unto Christ, when we labor and he will give us rest, is a one-time thing. I've heard preachers, and I preached it myself, that this verse has an application for salvation. You come because you are laboring in your sin, trying to get right with God different ways, and that labor is in vain. Because the only way you get right with God is to come to Christ. Amen. And he will give you rest from that labor of your soul seeking a way to get right with God. But if you look at the tenses of the verb, "come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," all the verbs in that verse are linear verbs. They're not talking about a one-time event. They're not talking about one-time coming. It talks about coming over and over and over. Those that are laboring and laboring and laboring, and every time that you come, Jesus will give you rest. And so, again, the tenses of the verb are important. The same thing is true in the verse that we read from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I'm going to turn back to it, where the Bible says, "If any man follow me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now again, the verbs in that verse are linear. It's not a one-time thing. And so what Jesus was saying, if you want to come after me today, then you need to deny yourself today, take up your cross today, and follow me. If you want to come after me tomorrow, if you want to follow me tomorrow, you got to do the same thing. If you want to do it on Tuesday, you got to do the same thing. And so when he says, "Come after me," he says, you keep coming after me. And you keep taking up, you keep denying yourself. And you keep taking up your cross and following me over and over and over and over again. So I read a story not too long ago that illustrates what I think God's trying to say in this verse. It was about a teenage boy that bought a little calf. A little calf, I don't know, Brother Paul, how much do calves weigh when they're born? 30, 40 pounds, something like that?
About 80, 90.
Oh, 80 or 90, okay. So he bought this little calf, and it weighed 80 or 90 pounds. But he was a teenage boy, and he picked it up. He carried it and because he loved it. He had an affection for the calf. It wasn't one, I don't know if he and his dad got in an argument about whether, you know, he probably named it, and don't know if they got in an argument about whether they were going to kill it or not. I've heard people, you know, raising different livestock and that were intended to be eaten, and their kids got so attached to it that they couldn't kill it. They had to keep the chicken or the pig or the cow alive because, this kid got attached to this cow. This little calf. And every day he'd pick it up and carry it around on his shoulders, wrap their legs around his neck and pick it up and carry it around the farm. And he did this day after day after day after day, month after month after month. Well, the inevitable happened. That little calf grew up, got bigger, put on more weight. And yet the young man, as he continued the practice. He'd just pick it up and he'd carry it around day after day after day. And I can't remember how much when the story ended, but the little calf got up to weighing 200 or 300 pounds, and the young man was still able to pick it up and carry it around. Now, what happened as that process started, the cow got bigger, but the boy got stronger. I mean, it was like he was lifting weights every day. That cow would put on a couple pounds a day. Well, he'd pick up that extra couple pounds and he would carry it around. And before you knew it, instead of carrying around 80 or 90 pounds, he was carrying around 350, 400 pounds because his strength had grown because he had exercised it by carrying around that little calf that was grown. And that's what Jesus is trying to say in this verse. You want to follow me? Then follow me. And follow me, and follow me. Deny yourself, deny yourself, deny yourself. Take up your cross. In fact, it says there, take up your cross daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You know, I think that's one reason why in the world today we see so many teenagers turning to substance abuse. We see so many teenagers that end up taking their own life. I heard about a young man, a friend of the family, 16 years old, had everything going for him. He was a good-looking kid. He was smart. He did well in school. He played sports. I mean, to look at the outside of his life, you would think that this was a kid that had every reason to live. But he took his own life. And as I thought about it, here's what I thought. You know, his mom and dad gave him everything. Gave him everything. They didn't make him do chores around the house. They gave him everything that he wanted. And I think, and I don't know that that was the sole contributor, but I think that was one thing that contributed to him committing suicide. We need to let our kids pick up their cross daily. We need to let them carry burdens when they're little and the burdens are little. Too many parents say, well, I don't want my children to go through what I had to go through. I don't want my children to do without the things that I had to do without. Parents that take that attitude and give their kids anything without, you know, making them work, without making them carry burdens now and then, are doing their children a disservice. Yeah, they're not going to have to go through what you went through, but they're not going to turn out the way that you turned out. They're not going to have to do without the things that you've done without, but they're not going to appreciate the things that they do get like you appreciate the things that you got. And so Jesus is saying, you want to follow me? Then you have to follow me, follow me, follow me. You have to deny yourself, deny yourself, deny yourself. You have to take up your cross, take up your cross, take up your cross and follow me. I had a wedding back in the summer, people that came to the church. And by the way, I'm still in my introduction. I'm laying the groundwork for the message. I'll get there real quick. But I had a wedding back last summer, a couple that just called the church, asked if they could have the wedding here. We always let folks that call the church, we're not going to let two homosexuals get married here or two lesbians get here. I mean, we draw the line. But two people, if they call and we talk to them and they want to use the church for a wedding, you know, we'll let them use it and I'll marry them. I talk to them. I present the gospel to them, make sure they're saved. They're not all saved, but they've heard the gospel before I performed the wedding ceremony. And I was talking to the bride's dad, and I didn't know her. I met her, had rehearsal with her, and we were talking before the service started on Saturday. I said, hey, sir, it looks like you have a wonderful daughter. It looks like she's got her head on straight, and she's done a pretty good job of picking out the guy that she's going to marry. And he said, well, I agree with you. I said, if you were going to just tell me in just a couple minutes what was the secret of your success in raising your daughter, what would you say? And here's what he says. I'll never forget it. He said, well, I didn't give her everything. I made her work. I gave her an allowance, But she did her share of the chores. When she went to college, I told her I would help her, but I didn't pay her whole tuition. She had to work and pay part of her tuition. He said she got to live at home when she went to college, but I didn't let her stay here free. I charged her room and board. Now, it wasn't a going rate. He said, I'll admit that. It was on the cheap side. But she paid room and board as she was going to college because I wanted her to learn how to bear her burdens when she was little. I didn't want her to get old in life, and the first burden that she faced was a big one, and she hadn't picked them up when they were little cows. She hadn't picked them up when they were little calves. She knew what it was to bear burdens. I had a friend growing up. His name was Donald Carter. He lived across the alley from me. Back in my day, we still had alleys behind our houses. Instead of putting your garbage on the front curb, you put them in the alley. And the garbage guy would come down the alley and pick up the garbage. That's where it belongs, by the way, in the alley, not on the front curb. But anyhow, that's my prejudice for being old. But Donald and I went to grade school together and then through junior high together. And we were good buddies. We walked to school every day. Now, when I grew up, my family was not a middle-class family. We were lower than a middle-class family. My dad worked three jobs. My mom worked two jobs, and we got by. I was so glad I was the oldest kid because my two brothers had to wear hand-me-downs, and I got them fresh. Now, we had a bathtub, I've heard Brother Clyde tell the stories. Saturday night, they get the worst tub out, mom and dad, then the oldest kid, then the next kid. I'd hate to be the youngest kid in that family. By the time you got to the bathwater, it was probably dirtier than you were. But anyhow, we were a below middle class family. Now, Donald's, if I looked at Donald's house, his family's house, it was the same kind of house that we got. But as I got to know him, as I got to know his family, I found out that his dad was a multimillionaire. He ran a business, had tons of money. And yet, Donald had to work the same way that I had to work. We cut grass together. We pulled weeds together. We cut our own, and we didn't get paid much for doing that. But then we'd take the lawnmower, and we'd cut the neighbor's yard, charge him a couple bucks, and pull their weeds. One time, the guy across the street hired us to sand his car. He was going to get it painted. Didn't want to pay anybody a big price to sand it, so we hired the two of us to sand his cars. Took us a couple weeks to get all the old paint off, but we had fun doing it. I was over his house one time. We'd go over each other's house and eat dinner, and I was there, and I don't know, he was in the seventh or eighth grade, we were at dinner, and he asked his dad, he said, Dad, I thought we had a lot of money. And his dad was a very unassuming kind of guy. He said, well, God's blessed us, and we have enough to get by. But he said, Dad, I've heard people talk about you that you got millions of dollars in the bank. If that's true, why do I got to work so much? Why do I have to go out and cut grass? And why do I got to go out and pull weeds? And why do I got to go out and, you know, sand cars to make the spending money that I have? And again, I'll never forget what his dad said. He said, because I want you to learn to be a man. I want you to learn that you have to work, that people are not going to give you anything, that you have to work, you have to pull your own weight. I'm trying to prepare you so that you can not only provide for yourself, but, you know, if you can find somebody to marry you, like it was going to be a hard task, but if you can find somebody to marry you and have a family, that you'll be able to provide for them. I just want you to know that life is not easy and that it takes work. I want you to bear the burdens. He didn't say these words, but what he was saying is, I want you to bear the burdens while they're little. Because when you bear the burdens when they're little, when the big ones come, you'll have the strength to bear them. Now, it's been probably 15 years since I've talked to Donald. Last time I talked to him, he had taken over his dad's business. He had doubled the business. They were doing about $11 million a year. And he was still, in fact, he said, hey, you want to go get some White Castle? I mean, he was a multimillionaire, and yet he still liked to go eat 69-cent hamburgers like I like to eat. And so again, all those to illustrate the point that I think Jesus was trying to make here in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Hey, pick up your cross daily. Pick up your burdens daily. carry them when they're small. So when the bigger ones come, you'll be able to handle them. So that's my introduction. Here's my 3 points. And I may come up to Adam's standards tonight. I may let you out a little bit early tonight. Here's my 3 points. Is he still in? Oh, yeah, he's still up there. Okay. Here's my 3 points. Number one, take up your cross daily. Take it up daily. You got a burden? You got a heartache? Pick it up. Pick it up. Live the life that God has given you to live. Call off the pity parties. Call off the depression. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit complaining. Just take the burden, pick it up, and carry it. Look, that burden wouldn't be in your life unless God knows that it's good for you. Nothing comes in to one of God's children's life unless he put it there or allowed it to come. And he put it there or allowed it to come for a purpose. That verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purposes. He has a reason for that burden in your life. He doesn't want you to ignore it. He doesn't want you to complain about it. He put it there so that you could pick it up, carry it, and thereby become stronger. Become stronger. So don't quit. Don't just sit and cry about it. Pick it up and carry it. There's a reason that God let it come into your life. If you ignore it, if you say, I'm not going to carry it, God's unfair, I don't know why he would bring some or allow something like this come into my life, you're questioning the wisdom of God. You're questioning the will of God. Look, we need to have the faith that there's absolutely nothing in our life that God doesn't want there. Amen. Nothing. And if it's there, it's a burden that he wants you to bear. So pick it up. Carry it. Number two, every now and then, pick up somebody else's burden. Now, you may have to put yours down for a minute. You may have to put yours aside for a minute, but it's okay to do that. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. As we help other people carry their burdens, we have an opportunity to show them the love of Jesus. And so carry theirs for a while. And when you get through carrying theirs, you're going to have to go back and pick up yours. But you know what will happen? When you go back and pick up yours after carrying somebody else's, you'll say, it's not as heavy as I remember. It's not as burdensome as I remember. It seems a little bit lighter now that I've carried somebody else's burden. I'll remind you tonight, you can always find somebody that has a heavier burden than you do. They're out there. God puts them in our life. And he puts them in our life to give us an opportunity to go to that person and say, hey, let me carry yours for a minute. Let me put my shoulder next to yours and let's carry it together. And I know some burdens you can't take from them and put on yourself. The only thing you can do is put your arm around them and say, hey, here's my shoulder. Let's carry it together. Let's just bear it today together. And we show the love of Christ as we do that. And again, as we carry other people's burdens, ours becomes lighter. It helps us put it in perspective about what God has allowed to come into our life. And so find somebody that's got a burden. Find a widow that needs some help. Go to the convalescent home. Go to the hospital. Go to an orphanage. If you have small children, take them with you. Let them see how other people have to live. Go and take some cookies, take a cake, take a toy. Just be there and stay. I mean, don't just pop in, but just go and plan to spend an hour or two with somebody that whose family never comes and sees them, somebody that never gets a visit, or somebody that's all alone. Carry other people's burdens. And then number three, When the big burdens come, thank God for the little ones that came before them. Thank God for the little burdens that he had you carry before the big ones come. When your spouse dies. While we were gone this week, I got a call from my younger brother. It was early Hawaii time, but it was like 1 o'clock in the morning your time. So I knew that if somebody was calling me from home at 1 o'clock in the morning, it wasn't good news. But my younger brother's wife had had open heart surgery a couple days before, and she never got to come home from the hospital. She passed away before she got to come home from the hospital. I know Adam shared the prayer request for you. But all their life, they had small burdens to bear. Vicky was a diabetic, and she had a lot of trouble with her diabetes. And my brother had some inner ear problems, and if he didn't know it, you would think that he was drunk all the time because he sort of staggered around. He just couldn't get his balance. And they took care of each other, and they bore those burdens together. And I reminded him when he called me, I said, "Dave, you know, God knows what's best." And I was able to tell him, "Hey, I know exactly what you're going through." And we talked a long time on the phone. But one of the things I told him, I said, "You know, God has been preparing you and Vicky both for this day. All the burdens, the little burdens that you have borne together as husband and wife, taking care of each other. It doesn't make it any easier. Doesn't make the grief go away or the loneliness go away. But you can thank God that he's prepared you for this day." And that's what God does. You see, he just doesn't send big burdens into our life without preparing us. He gets us ready. That's one reason that verse in 1 Corinthians is so true. "There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. And with the temptation comes a way of escape. Not a way to get out of it, but a way to bear it." And the way that God can keep his word in that verse, the way he keeps his word in that verse, is that he'll send small burdens into our life. Like that little calf, that if we pick him up and carry him, we'll get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, so that when the big burdens come, I mean, they're still big burdens, they're still big heartaches, but we'll be more ready to bear them if we'll do exactly what this verse says. Take up thy cross. Take it up. Take it up. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. And follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. We need to thank God for the little burdens because they help us get ready for the big ones. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that it's so, at times, practical that we don't need any self-help books. If we just study this book, the Bible, we have everything that we need to live the kind of life that you want us to live. Father, I pray tonight, if there is one person here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that Holy Spirit, while I've been speaking, you've been speaking, that you've showed them that they're a sinner, and that there's a penalty for that sin, but that Jesus paid the price for it. And if they'd come to him, he'll wash away their sins, dress them in his righteousness, make them one of your children, prepare a home for them in heaven. And so again, if there's just one that's never made that decision, I pray tonight they would come to Christ. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the love and that you showed to us when you sent Jesus to die for us. Thank you for making that change in our life that Kelly sang about a moment ago. All things do become new in Christ. And I pray, Father, that as you do bring burdens into our life, that we wouldn't avoid them. We wouldn't complain. We wouldn't quit. We'd know, have enough faith to know you have them there for a reason, for a purpose. And we just pick them up, carry them, and carry them, and carry them.
So bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. If there's something that we need to do, please be clear, show it to us, and then help us to be obedient as you reveal your will to us. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.